In the name of Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Text for our meditation this morning comes from Matthew chapter 16, as we previously read. Have you ever been watching your favorite kind of action movie? You know, the one where Bruce Willis or where Liam Neeson or where Gerard Butler, they save the world. Right when the action is getting rough, you take kind of a little mental shortcut in your mind. You do a little bit of mental cheating. You see the scene is getting rough, and so your fists are clenched to your armrest. You're wondering how they're going to make it out of this situation alive. And then for just a second, you press pause in your mind, and you think to yourself, Bruce Willis can't die here. We're only 20 minutes into the movie. And then you press play again, and then you go back to the scene a little bit more relieved because you know somehow he's going to make it out alive. Well, that's the kind of cheating shortcut that Peter was trying to take in our text today. Except for Peter didn't want to think about Jesus dying at all. See, Peter had just made this beautiful profession of his faith, but he was not ready for what Jesus wanted to talk about next, and that was this. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. See, Jesus was trying to explain to his disciples just how necessary his death was going to be to this whole process. He must go to Jerusalem and he must be killed. And Peter, hearing this for the first time, is for one thing shocked and then has the gumption to try and take Jesus aside and rebuke him, saying, "Never, Lord, you can't die. You're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God." That's what I just got done saying. And anyway, we've just been getting this whole kingdom of God thing rolling. This shall never happen to you. It's here that Peter is revealing a prominent but flawed way of thinking that many of the Jews had about the coming of the Messiah and the goals that he was going to accomplish. See, many people thought of the Messiah in earthly terms, with earthly goals. They thought of this fierce warrior with his robe dipped in blood that was going to come and sock it to the Romans and bring back the kingdom of power to Israel. They had in mind a picture of the Messiah that might come from Isaiah chapter 63 that says, "It was for me the day of vengeance. The year for me to redeem had come. I trampled the nations in my anger. In my wrath, I made them drunk and poured their blood on the ground." Now, it's not that this isn't a true picture of the Messiah, but it's one that won't come until the last day, and that day wasn't yet. But Peter would show soon how willing he was for the action to start. They wanted to start seeing some of the results, and Peter was willing to even chop off an ear, but he wasn't willing to think about his Messiah dying. And so Jesus needed to explain to Peter and to them all just how necessary his death was going to be, just how necessary that was going to be for the whole plan, for the whole mission, and how necessary it was going to be for them as well. You know, it's kind of interesting that our word crucial for us means something like necessary or vitally important, but the word crucial actually comes from the Latin word cross or the Latin word crux. And we can see the connection there, just how vitally important the cross really is. And so that's our theme today. The cross is crucial for the Christ as well as for the Christian. See, Peter had tried to take Jesus aside and rebuke him for talking this way, which is really something when you think about it, right? A sinner taking aside the Messiah and trying to give him some advice about how to rule the kingdom. And so Jesus quickly turns aside from that advice and gives Peter like the most stern rebuke we could possibly think of coming from the Savior. Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Jesus knew that his death was going to be crucial and necessary for his mission to be completed and for the concerns of God to be completed. It was because he knew the other pictures that the Old Testament had painted of him as well, not just as a fierce warrior, but also that of a lamb led to the slaughter. Jesus knew what it said, not just in Isaiah 63, but also what it said in Isaiah 53. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. He was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked. Jesus knew that the cross was going to be crucial for him, the Christ, the Lord's anointed, to bear in order to pay for sin, to atone for punishment, and bring salvation. And so, when Peter forbid Jesus from doing like the most fundamental part of his work as Christ, it was totally appropriate for Jesus to tell him to get behind me, Satan, because that's what Satan does. He opposes God's will. He's the adversary who rejects it. And so when Peter was acting as Satan's pawn, trying to tempt Jesus not to go to the cross, he deserved that rebuke for putting his human concerns to the forefront and putting what Jesus needed to do on the back burner. And we deserve that same kind of rebuke as well when we point our finger up at God and wonder why he hasn't simply come and done away with all of our enemies and brought to bear this wonderful kingdom on earth, a 1,000-year reign for us to enjoy while we just sit with Jesus and enjoy it all. We deserve that same kind of rebuke as well when we try to take God aside and give him some advice about how to run his kingdom. We think, just put me in charge, Lord, and I'll have the streets cleaned up for you by tomorrow. Everything will be running in just tip-top shape. But what we find is that our concerns are short-sighted and selfish, and we would bring everything to ruin in just a matter of moments. And so it's good for us to realize that Jesus is the Savior and not us. And it's good for us to realize that he has his Father's concerns in mind. And he's the one who is willing to go to Jerusalem and suffer at the hands of his own people and be nailed to the cross. He's the lamb who was willing to be led to the slaughter just as God had planned it from the foundation of the world. Jesus has his Father's concerns in mind, and so it was crucial for the Christ to go to the cross, and it's crucial for us to let the King rule his kingdom and the Savior do his work of saving, which goes through the cross. You see, that's the foolish way that God shows for us to be saved. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." So when Jesus has brought us to the realization that the cross is crucial for the Christ, then it becomes so much more feasible that the cross is crucial for us as well. We shouldn't be surprised by it. You know, sometimes I think we picture ourselves as if we're a guy named Simon of Cyrene. just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Do you remember who Simon was? He's the guy that while Jesus was walking by and carrying his cross and he couldn't carry it anymore, the Romans picked this guy out of the crowd and they forced him to carry the cross the rest of the way. Can you imagine what a guy like Simon would have been thinking that day? I just wandered into Jerusalem. How did I get singled out for this? Why did they put it on me? I'm not even with this guy, and now I have to carry this cross. Have you ever asked those questions of God? I have. How did I get singled out to be the father of a daughter who has a one in a million list of special needs to take care of? Why did my mom have to die 5 years ago on September 4th, which will be this Monday? Why did my childhood house have to burn down and all my memories with it? Now I have to clean it out. Why did that have to happen to me? When we ask those kinds of questions, we imply to God that just because we are with him means nothing bad should ever happen to us and no cross should ever come to us. But Jesus says the opposite. Jesus says the cross is necessary and crucial. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. This one verse is like a frontal assault on the entire spirit of our age that says that you should be able to do what you want and love whoever you want and be who you want, and nobody should be able to tell you otherwise. Even more, this verse is an assault on my sinful flesh that says, my life, my rules. And Jesus says, no. Deny yourselves and take up the cross. Deny your concerns, your desires, your urges for the sake of taking up the concerns of God and endure the pain and the displeasure that might come along with it. See, that's what Jesus is referring to when he says the cross. It's what comes along with faithfully following Jesus. Now, the cross isn't just every ache and pain that you might endure in this life. It's especially that part about doing it for the sake of faithfully following Christ. So not every illness is necessarily the cross, but the cross comes when you have to deal with the fear or the struggle against your doubt that comes with trusting in God as you're dealing with that illness. The cross isn't necessarily just losing a loved one, but the cross will come as you reckon with the grief of losing that person in a way that doesn't leave you feeling angry and bitter at God. The cross isn't that God wants us to worship him, but the cross may come when your kid gets benched because you decided that it was more important for you to worship than it was to go to the kids every game. The cross isn't necessarily just that God wants us to bring our first fruit offerings to him, but the cross may come when we realize I can't buy a 2023 SUV and an elite fishing boat and make the mortgage payment on my dream house and be able to give my first fruit offerings to God. And so the cross points out the place where we need to sacrifice for the sake of faithfully following along with our God. Denying yourself and bearing the cross also means that you don't get to run off and escape from the reality of following along with Christ. You don't get to run off and jump into a bottle. You don't get to click and scroll your way into some sort of fantasy land that only revolves around you. Jesus says, deny yourselves those things because they're not good for you. And doing that may feel like a heavy load in this life, but Jesus has not given us anything to bear that. For one thing, he has not already borne for us in our place. And for another, he doesn't give us anything that is not somehow bitter tasting medicine that is meant for our healing. So the cross is crucial for every Christian because carrying it forces us to let go of what we want for ourselves and hold on to what he wants for us, which is infinitely better. So if you really want to put that down, if you really want to put the cross down and hold on to all the other things that you've saved in this life, if you really want to keep that stuff and say yes to yourself and say no to Jesus, well, then do it at least knowing that you're not just making a bad decision in the here and now. You're making an eternity-costing decision to turn your back on Christ. Jesus says, whoever wants to save their life will lose it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? There is not one thing that you bought or saved or paid towards in this life that you will be able to exchange for your soul on the day that your court case comes up on the docket on Judgment Day. You won't be able to do it. You can't make that kind of exchange. But there is somebody who can, who in fact already has and has done it for you, and not just with some earthly thing in this life, but has done it with his holy, precious blood, has done it with his own life. He's the one who was willing to go to Jerusalem and to suffer many things and be handed over and nailed to the cross just as God had planned from the foundation of the world. He's the Lamb who took our pain and punishment on himself and suffered it even to the point of death on the cross. And the whole point of it was so that he might cross through death and bring life out on the other side. Remember how Peter was so focused on not letting Jesus die that he forgot to listen to the end of the sentence that Jesus said. The end, Jesus says, he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. That's what God from eternity has been intent on bringing this whole time and through the cross, life. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And because he's the one who's got real and lasting life, he invites us to come and follow him on the way that he has paved through death and through the cross so that he might give us life to the full in him. Whoever loses their life for me will find it. So he's not looking for us to deny ourselves so that our lives will just be miserable and we'll have no fun. He wants us to deny ourselves a life in this world that is really no life at all, so that he can give us a life that is truly life. And all of that happens through the cross. Paul tells us if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. All of that happens through the cross. And that's why the cross is crucial for the Christ and for you, dear Christian. So take up your cross and follow him. Amen. Please stand. Thanks so much for worshiping with us today. We hope that God's word has strengthened your faith.
To help us know more about the reach of our efforts here at Mount Olive, we hope that you'll like and subscribe to our YouTube and Facebook pages, and that you also sign our online friendship register to let us know that you're listening today. God bless and keep you.